Lord Jesus, we come to lift up your great name here today. Lord, as we have been singing to you this morning, we've been inviting you to come and move among us with your power. You are an awesome God. You are the one who draws near to us. You are the one who comes and visits us, who arrives just at the right time in our lives. And you speak into us through your Spirit, and you bring healing, you bring wholeness, you bring redemption, you bring everything we need for life and for godliness. And Lord, we thank you and we exalt you and we praise you today with all that is within us. We give you thanks today, for there is no other name that is above your name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we exalt you today. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here today. And we don't take anything for granted, as we learned last week with that storm that came through this area and knocked out the hydro. And Lord, we were here in the darkness last week, but now we are back here this week, and we know all the work that's been put in by those on the front lines, all the hydro workers and all the emergency crews that have been around the city and around the province, just helping people to get back to a way of being able to live this week with hydro, with power, so that we can live our lives in this age that we need all these things. Lord, thank you for all the work that was done so that we could be here today to lift up your name in this way. And Lord, we do come today, and we do ask that as we have come into your presence, that you would now continue to speak to us. Lord, you've been speaking to us through the words of the music and the scriptures this morning, but Lord, speak to us now in this time as we enter into this study of your word in the book of Acts. Lord, we just pray that everything that you have for us today would come out loud and clear, so that we might know the truth that sets us free, and that also we can take out and help others to come to know you, this great name, the name of Jesus, so that their lives can be transformed as well. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all your good blessings to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is good to see all of you back here today, and I know that many of you had to weather the storm this past week and were without hydro, and I just bless you for enduring this past week, and also for finding ways to help your neighbors. And I'm sure many of you were involved in helping other people, if it was in a big way or a small way. We just know that every opportunity that we have to give a cup of cold water or an extra hand lugging out branches or helping to clean up, or even just a word of encouragement to somebody, opening up a refrigerator or a freezer. You know, all those little things make a difference, causing the influence of the gospel to go out with power, even when there's no power. No hydro, that is. We always know that God's power is with us, right? His Holy Spirit power. Well, let's dive into this study today. I'm excited about this. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, great. Well, that didn't sound like you're too excited. But you know, we're living today in the age of social media influencers. Have you ever heard that word before? Social media influencers. And, you know, just go on to Facebook or any of these other social platforms, and you'll find social media influencers all over the place. People who are trying to get a message out about something that they're really interested in. You know, I looked up the definition of a social media influencer just so that we would be able to understand what that is. And this is what the definition is. A social media influencer is basically anyone that builds an audience online, from foodies to fashion divas to those that just want to connect with their fans during the minutiae of life. Being an influencer means sharing a bit of yourself and the things you like to do with people that want to hear from you. For the most part, social media influencers are content creators that have a social media following. They share quality content online that informs, entertains, or inspires their audience, connecting them with their fans, on a regular basis. So, you know, that's what a social media influencer is. Aren't you glad you know that now? It really basically is someone who has a real interest in something and wants to get that out to other people, such that they influence how other people react or live their lives. That's a social media influencer. Now, we're online and all these different social media platforms, you know, it makes it, you know, easier for people to be able to do that and get their message out. You think, you know where I'm kind of going with this today? I think you do. You know, although there was no internet, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, or other social media platforms in the first century, the Apostle Peter and the other apostles were the first social media influencers of their day. And how can I say that? Well, they took what they had and they got the message out and they created a following, not just for themselves, but for Jesus. And they used letter writing, of all things, letter writing. Now, Peter wrote his series of letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, around 60 to 64 AD, a short time before his death, and the persecution that broke out against Christians during the time of the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero. So, you know, Peter was getting the word out the best way that he could. And although the times that Peter was living in were different than ours today, his words are an encouragement to us to remind us to remain purposeful in both our actions and words as we find ourselves facing our own unique challenges today in our culture. As it was true in his day, so it's true with us. You know, where our heart is grounded will make a difference in how we're able to navigate through the difficult times in our lives and how we are able to help influence others around us to find a reason for hope in their lives when they're going through difficult times, challenging times. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. He says this: in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know, I'm sure that as Peter wrote these words, he had in mind the early days of the church, just after Pentecost, when every day it seemed like there were new opportunities to reach out to people with loving compassion and then to follow up by sharing with them the refreshing message of the gospel of Jesus. I'm sure that that was in his mind as he wrote this, to remind people that, you know, we have opportunities all around us to influence other people towards Jesus through our actions and our words. And, you know, as a compassionate influencer for Jesus Christ, Peter had many opportunities to speak the truth into the darkness, inviting a response that refreshes and acknowledging the reality of new life in Jesus Christ for all who would repent and receive him as Lord. Peter was the first, one of the first compassionate influencers for Jesus Christ. And I can say that because I'm one such, we have one such example of that for us as we're diving in today into Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to 26. He had an opportunity to speak into the, this opportunity to speak in, into the darkness came about following the miraculous event that we started looking at last week from Acts chapter 3, the healing of the crippled man. So today we pick up the story where we can see that there's nothing like the miraculous healing of a man who was crippled from birth to generate a large crowd. You know, just get a guy, heal somebody who's been crippled for life and he's jumping up and down and everybody's going to come running. They're going to ask questions. And it's interesting how the man who was healed couldn't stop skipping and jumping and shouting and praising God as they were entering the temple courts. And then when people started noticing his outbursts, recognizing who it was that was making all the noise, and they started gathering around to see what had happened, that this man just wanted to just find a place to hide. You know, to become invisible again. He wasn't used to all of these crowds all around him noticing him. Remember, for 40 years, he'd just been sitting there asking people, and they would just walk, by, maybe give him a little bit, but just walk by, not even looking at him. Now everybody was looking at him. And it was at that moment, with all of the eyes of the crowd on them, that Peter, that compassionate influencer, started to speak, diverting the focus of the crowd from this man towards the source of his healing in Jesus. And this is what Luke records for us in Acts. He says, "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed," that's pretty strong, "you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are all witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you now all can see." Wow. Whew. What a message. But I, you know, when I read that message, when I read that portion, one of the things that really stands out for me are the questions that Peter asked the crowd as they started to gather and as they were all amazed. They're really brilliant questions in the moment. You know, the question, why does this surprise you? Why does it surprise you? Why do you stand there staring at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk. Why are you surprised? And why do you think this was us? Why do you think it was something that we did? Let me tell you now what this is all about. And that's what really captures me from this story, because you know what happens next is that Peter begins to explain to them what's happening here. You know, in the book that I've been reading for the Pastors Book Club with the CBOQ pastors, you know, the book is called The Pastor in a Secular Age, and it's by Andrew Root. You know, and in that, Andrew Root describes how the unexpected arrival of God in our time and space can radically transform even the most secular point of view. Think about that for a moment. The unexpected arrival of God in our time and space can radically transform even the most secular point of view. And to bolster that thought, he uses the experience of God's arrival to Abram as an example from the Old Testament. He says this: Abram is secure and safe in the house of his father, living happily in the causative continuity of his father's gods. Then, as disruptive as a space pod on the horizon, a god whom Abram does not know arrives on the scene. Abram experiences a radically different kind of God, the only true living God, because this God comes as an arrival and speaks. The Old Testament says, living God, to communicate that this God is altogether different, because unlike all other gods, this God is an actor in history. We know this because this God speaks. This God comes arriving as an event that happens. This is unique. For the rest of Abraham's life, this God will be coming and going, arriving with a word, seemingly gone, but then arriving again with another word. Abraham experiences this living God as an event of arrival, as the one who comes with a word, changing Abram to Abraham. You know, Root goes on to explain how this understanding of God's arrival is a key for understanding how we can bridge the gospel to people in this secular age. He says this: to say that God is uniquely the arriving God, a living God who makes himself known as an event in history, is to claim that God's being is in God's becoming. To say it like this is to simply claim that the only way for us to know God and therefore experience God's being is to encounter God's historical arrival. Interesting. Abraham has no preconceived idea of God. How could he? He couldn't know this God until the event of God's arrival. And it isn't until God arrives with calls and promises of action that Abraham has any sense of God's being. But when God arrives and God begins to speak, Abram is transformed. He's changed, forever changed, because now he knows the living God who comes into our life, penetrates into our life. You know, what I appreciate most about Root's understanding of God as the God who arrives unexpectedly is this, is that his point that most often God breaks into our historical experience when things seem to be the most impossible. And that was the case with Abram. He was living in a totally pagan environment. His whole experience of life was around all kinds of other gods. And then all of a sudden, God, the living God, begins to speak. It's an impossibility. It seems like it's impossible. But then, you know, when we come to Jesus, isn't that true as well? You know, Jesus came into the world and he began to do miracles and he lived his life and then he died. And everyone thought, that's the end of Jesus. That's the end of this prophet. That's the end of this teacher. But in an impossible situation, when Jesus was put in the grave was sealed. God, by his spirit, by his power, showed up and raised Jesus from the dead. In an seemingly impossible moment in history. And then we come to this lame man that we're talking about today. You know, this man had been lame and he had been resigned to a life of begging for over 40 years. He was without any reason for hope in his life. And he's like so many people today, locked up in all their problems, locked up in all of their life that's not going the right way, and, you know, just resignation everywhere. Oh, life won't be anything more than this. It seems impossible that life could be any better than what it is right now. Without any reason for hope, this man, this lame man, was there until God arrived. Until God showed up, bringing healing and wholeness, a whole new way of experiencing God, what? In the name of Jesus. And he was healed. And he got up and he started shouting and jumping and praising the Lord. Why? Because God had arrived at just the right time for him to experience Jesus. You know, when Root observes this, he says, when things are at their hardest, we must together open our eyes and ready ourselves for God's arrival. It's when we need ministry, impinged by impossibility, that the God who comes in the act of ministry arrives, calling to a lame man to stand up and walk. The life of faith is not to assume that every impinging circumstance will bring God's arrival, but it is to open your eyes and anticipate that our God, who is a ministering God, may just move over these waters of impossibility. And so we must call out to this God, listening for his word, and when God comes, we must tell others of the arrival. For right in our places of death, God has ministered life. I just absolutely love that. That just has captured me this week. Because it is so true that when we are in the throes of death, you know, I've shared my story, but I, you know, 30 years ago, when my grandmother was dying, my life was in a place of dryness. I was just as in ministry for 10 years, and I just couldn't, I was just dying inside. And then God came and spoke into me those words, in the throes of death, new life comes. And that was my life, it's been my life vision to this day. Hanging on to that because God showed up at that time and just brought a whole new experience of his power in my life. And what I understand Root to be saying here is that in this secular age where people have no concept or context for the arrival of God's transforming presence. Get this. Everybody around us doesn't give a hoot about God. You know, they just go about their lives without him. Yet when difficulties come, when challenges come, when life is on the line, and they have no understanding of how to interpret what's going on in their life, we have an opportunity to be compassionate influencers for Christ, introducing people to the God who arrives with his empowering presence in unexpected ways, helping them to recognize and understand God's arrival in their time of need, in their lives, especially when it's a troubled time, a difficult time. It's an opportunity for us to be influencers, introducing people to Jesus Christ, the God who draws near. You know, Peter recognized that this was the perfect opportunity to proclaim the truth about Jesus. Have you had those experiences recently? I know Sarah and I were talking about some of these this week. Even from the storm, the opportunities that we've had to gently or compassionately share a little bit about how God can work things out. You know, all of these things, you know, Peter recognized that this for him at this time, as the crowd was coming around this lame man who had now been healed, it was a perfect opportunity to proclaim the truth about Jesus, testifying to God's redemptive work through Jesus, confronting the crowd's resistance in to this work, and making the connection between faith in the name of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, and the healing that was made possible, not only for this man, but for all who would believe in the name Jesus. You know what Luke records here in Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to 26, and what Peter proclaims in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 22, is the truth that penetrates the darkness of people's hearts and brings about transformation, and so much so that the lights come on and they truly get that God's presence has arrived right here, right now. You know, that's what we can help people to understand is when God is right there ready to help them in their time of need. Now, if we're going to be compassionate influencers for Jesus today, speaking truth into the darkness of our times, into our secular society, we too need to have a clear understanding of the truth of the gospel of Jesus. The truth about the God who arrives at just the right time. You know, that's what we learn from Galatians chapter 4, isn't it? You know, Paul says in Galatians, he says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sonship." Just the right time. God is the one who shows up at just the right time. And when we have that confidence with the truth, we know that when Jesus shows up, he is the one that can transform our lives. We know the truth that faith in the name of Jesus is the key that unlocks complete healing, body, mind, and spirit. The redemption of our soul. We know the truth that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We know the truth that if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved, for it is with our hearts that we believe and are justified, and it's with our mouth that we profess faith and are saved. You know, we know these things. We know these truths to be self-evident, you know, from the gospel. We know the truth that having faith in Jesus' name is to embrace Jesus for who he is, his teaching, his death and resurrection, and all that he has done for us on the cross. And it is to acknowledge that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who arrives at just the right time. That's what he did in our lives. And as compassionate influencers, isn't it our responsibility that God has given to us to help others to come and see that as well? You know, to have faith in Jesus' name is to receive him completely as Lord and Savior of our lives, acknowledging that he is the source of life, that he is here with us now and for all eternity. And it is to believe that his death has brought about the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our souls in relation to God the Father. You know, that's what we know. That's the confidence that we have. That's the hope that is in us. Amen?
Amen.
See, when Peter was saying, you know, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have, that is the hope that you have. And we need to be prepared at any time with our neighbors who don't know Jesus to be able to bring the presence of Christ, the hope that we have, into our relationships with them. And it's not just in word. It can be in how we live out the gospel with them, accompanied by our words. So important. You know, as compassionate influencers for Jesus Christ, it's clear from what Luke records here that Peter understood the deep needs that were represented in the crowd of people who were surrounding him that day. And that's really what it is for us as well. We need to understand and know the needs of people around us. He acknowledges that many of those who were gathered around him in the temple courts were the same people who had been part of the mob who had called out for the cancellation, the execution of Jesus a few weeks before. So it can be said that Peter knew what it was like to share the truth about Jesus in the face of cancel culture. Oh, and isn't cancel culture really strong today? Everything's being canceled. Everyone's being canceled. Anybody who speaks against the popular secular mind flow is being canceled. But Peter understood what it was to speak the truth about Jesus in the face of cancel culture. His words to the crowd was not one of condemnation for what they had done, but was a word of clarification and explanation, helping them to see and understand the things they did not know, that they did not know about the cosmic significance of their part in the death of Christ. You know, as human beings, it's a confronting thing when we come face to face with the truth that there are things that we do not know, that we do not know about the spiritual consequences of our actions in life. And that's how our secular world lives today. They don't even know that they don't even know. And that causes resistance. You know, when we resist, if we're being authentic and honest, we resent being called out for the ignorance of these consequences, because we like to think that we're the captains of our own destiny. And that's part of our human condition. And that's what's so much at play right now, is people want to be in control of their own destiny. And so they seek to cancel out what doesn't fit with their view of things. You know, the crowd that Peter was speaking to, their rejection of Jesus was all part of the bigger redemptive plan for all of humankind. And that's And that there was still, and there even in their rejection of Christ, there was still hope for their redemption by letting go of their resistance to Jesus, by turning back to God through repentance. That's what Peter held out to them. There was still hope. You may reject Jesus. You may reject anything Christian. You may reject everything. But my friend, there's still hope for you. And this is the pathway to redemption in Jesus Christ. The pathway that starts with the first steps of repentance, acknowledging our sins before God and our need of a Savior, Jesus. You know, as a compassionate influencer for Jesus, Peter had mastered the art of enrolling, the art of enrollment, helping people to see and to experience the benefits of repentance, turning their hearts and their lives over to God who draws near to us in Jesus. Listen to how he expresses what was possible for the people who were standing before him. He said, "Repent then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." See, what Peter did right in that moment, you know, he emphasized that, oh, this is what you guys did, but here's what God has done, and now here's what's possible for you. He helped his cancel culture crowd to discover what was possible for each and every one of them in a relationship with Jesus. The possibility of forgiveness of sins, more like completely obliterating sins or wiping them out, but the forgiveness of sins. Times of refreshing, coming in waves from the Lord. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? The presence of Jesus abiding in our life. He said, you know, come and waves of refreshing will come and Jesus' presence will be there in your life. And finally, the hope of the restoration of all things at Jesus' coming. You know, you want the world to, you know, get into better shape. Well, get to know Jesus and help make it that way, by putting your trust and your faith and your confidence in him. And he'll give you a whole different way of seeing the world around you. You know, this is what is still possible today for anyone who comes to that place of repentance and turns their hearts towards God through Jesus Christ. Peter set out this possibility clearly and plainly, calling the people to reconsider their perspective on Jesus, to see him through the lenses of the promises made by God through Moses, through the prophets, through Jesus. And as a compassionate and bold influencer for Jesus Christ, Peter made his appeal to the crowd very personal, helping them to discover where faith in Jesus Christ could be a blessing in their lives and helping them to understand that God has indeed arrived in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's there for you right now. So I ask you today, how confident are you today in where you stand in relation to Jesus? All the things that we've been talking about in terms of a relationship with Jesus. And if you are secure in that relationship, if you're going to be a compassionate influencer for Jesus Christ, remember that we need to be sure and secure, confident in the reality of our new life in Jesus Christ and the benefits of the gospel that we are holding out to people in this secular world around us. We need to be authentic, genuine articles, because they'll sniff out any inauthenticity in us. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 12, Peter shares the source of our confidence, the secret recipe for our boldness. And it comes because we know who we are and whose we are and what our mission is. He says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, he says, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls, but live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. The day he arrives. You know, we often think of that as the day way off in the future when Jesus is coming again. But you know what? Jesus still arrives today. For you, he arrived for you when you came to know him. He will arrive for your neighbors when they come to know him through you. He will arrive. This is when people glorify God, is when he arrives. And thank God he's a God that arrives unexpectedly at any time, but at just the right time. Whew. I'm coming to the end, but I just got fired up again. You know, our confidence flows from our understanding of who we are, whose we are, and who he has called us to be as agents of his mercy. Compassionate influencers for Jesus Christ. You know, in these days of cancel culture and the growing hostility towards those who hold a more conservative view of social issues and values, it's important for us who revere Christ in our hearts to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have, and to do so with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Not engaging in arguments, but being those who, with love and compassion and respect for all human beings, that we reach out with the gospel to help people understand that God is still arriving today for you, right here, right now. And if we as a church are going to take up our place as compassionate influencers for Jesus Christ in this secular world, and in these difficult and challenging times that we're living in, we together need to take heart. Take to heart the encouraging words, not only from the Apostle Peter that we've just talked about today, but also from the Apostle Paul. And I love this, when he says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Every single act of kindness and mercy and grace, every single word of God, of proclaiming the gospel, every single word of encouragement, every single word of truth that you lay out with for a neighbor, it is not in vain. And that's all we've been called to be. Compassionate influencers for Jesus Christ, bringing the presence of Christ, incarnating the presence of Christ that is in us into this world that we live in. As compassionate influencers for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, take these words, take these thoughts, these words of mine, and Lord, use them as you see fit in each one of our hearts today. Lord, help us to be people who model the presence of Christ in a very difficult world. Lord, help us to be compassionate influencers with our neighbors today, tomorrow, and until you come. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you that you are at work in us and that all around us, and that you still come and burst into our lives in unexpected ways. We love you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name.